march of these protesters that were yelling to the other protesters to please stop throwing bottles and just please stop throwing rocks and whatever they were doing at the LAPD.
Penn State alumni are trying to come to grips with the impact and investigation into the school's handling of the Jerry Sandusky scandal. It says Joe Paterno and other officials concealed what they knew about Sandusky's sexual abuse of children. Here's NBC's Bob Costas.
The aura, the reputation, that's already been badly tarnished. I think even the most staunch loyalists realize that something that can't be rationalized away occurred here.
This is NBC News Radio. Syrian activists say there has been another massacre and have posted a video they say shows the bodies of 15 men who were among dozens killed in the government shelling of a farming village in central Syria. It has not been confirmed by an outside source. President Obama travels to Virginia today, where he'll try to rally young and African-American voters in the Virginia Beach Hampton area. On Saturday, he'll campaign in Richmond. Closing arguments scheduled today in the Texas voter ID law trial. The Justice Department blocked the law in March, saying it violates the Voting Rights Act. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, will appear before Wall Street analysts today. They want to know what he's done to prevent a similar loss in the future. And Steven Tyler is leaving American Idol. He says he wants to put more energy into his band Aerosmith. Jennifer Lopez might be leaving as well. She says she's thinking about it. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Managing your own business takes a number of essential apps.
I think I have every one of them.
One is all you need.
Yeah, the contact managing one, the project tracking one, the work sharing one, and the client billing one.
No, just the all-in-one.
Which one?
Sage One, a simple web app that puts it all together for business.
That one.
The only one.
How do I get one?
Visit sagetoday.com for your 30-day free trial of Sage One.
Nice one.
That's sagetoday.com.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the service you need and save money on gas. $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver Package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/12.
The decline of the traditional video game shows no sign of slowing. Researcher NPD Group says disc-based games posted a 29% sales plunge in June, continuing a decline for a seventh straight month. While U.S. players still spent $700 million on game discs, consoles, and related items last month, that is down from nearly $1 billion a year ago. While software sales did plummet, it was hardware that took the biggest hit, down 45%. A big restaurant chain is getting bigger. Darden Restaurants, the company behind Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Longhorn Steakhouse, and some smaller chains, is spending almost $600 million to buy the Yard House chain of 39 restaurants in 13 states. It is known for its craft beer, with more than 130 taps on average. Darden wants to expand Yard House to about 200 locations. Will Wall Street expand today after six losing sessions? Well, so far, stock futures are looking up. S&P futures ahead by 5, NASDAQ up 8, while Dow futures are gaining 44 points. I'm Steve Potusk from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
Doctor, teacher, judge. These are just a few of the people who've lost a child to heat stroke after leaving them in an empty car. 33 children died last year alone. It can happen to anyone. Even you could forget a sleeping or quiet baby. If you have small children, get in the habit of checking the back seat every time you exit your vehicle. It could mean the difference between life and death. Where's baby? Look before you lock. To learn more, visit safercar.gov/heatstroke.
Roofing Pros. Right now at the Home Depot, buy a pallet of GAF shingles, including Timberline shingles with a lifetime limited warranty, and get your entire order, the shingles and any other supplies you need, delivered to your job site for free. You'll eliminate time-wasting supply runs and take your productivity through the roof, thanks to free delivery with any pallet of GAF shingles. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 15th, U.S. only. See store for...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It is Friday, Friday the 13th of July, 2012. Get over it. We had this conversation the last time. It wasn't that long ago. There have been a couple Friday the 13ths this year, so it's just another one. Time to move on. Hope you're all having... It's Friday, for God's sake, so let's enjoy that. As we get ready to wrap up this week, get on to the weekend, and hopefully, at least weather-wise, it's going to be hot and very summer-like, very seasonal. So let's be sure to enjoy it as we can. You know, before you know it, the cool winds of fall, I hate to say that, but they're going to blow in. And fall always comes quickest. Of all the seasons, it seems like that one comes the quickest. So let's just enjoy the weather while we can. We do have a lovely weekend in front of us weather-wise, and make the best of it. Good Friday, everybody. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Kevin Hawley will be joining us. He, of course, the Democrat running for Oakland County Executive. He's got plenty on his mind as we continue to look at a race that is very winnable. So we'll check in with Kevin Hawley. Zach Pohl from Progress Michigan will join us at 7:35. To get to a story that kind of got into a little scuffle, if you will, a virtual scuffle via email with a couple listeners yesterday over this issue, but we'll get to it in just a little while. And then, of course, Joe DeSano joins us, as he always does, with a couple pretty fantastic stories to share with us as we wrap up another great week of broadcasting. So I just think we look forward, and let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Point, P-O-I-N-T. Point is our first word today. Now, it can be, obviously, the point of a pin. I'm pointing at you. What's the point of doing that? Of course, there are multiple uses. It's one of the nice things about, well, maybe not nice things. Maybe one of the complicated things about the English language, but point, to make one, is important. To make it factually is important as well. It seems interesting over the last 24 hours is there have been a lot of focus on a singular point. And that point is, when did Mitt Romney leave Bain Capital? Was it 1999? Was it 2002? Was it a matter of paperwork? Blah, 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 blah. The point is, it's a conversation worthy of having. You got to wonder at some level. As we watch, and the point I'm making here, as we watch the Romney campaign, you would think implode. Why isn't it? Why isn't it? Why isn't the stuff that most of us are just finding incredulous not resonating with the media or other people that surround us? Why is it that we are astounded by the points that are being made, and yet other people are going, yeah, much ado about nothing? Oh, that's what happens when you end up with a nominee that you just kind of have to plug your nose and go, oh, that? Yeah, that. Now, the point is, going back to our first word, is we need to pay attention. Yeah, there's a reason it's called a point. It's the focus. It's the narrowing of. It is the absolute core. And it seems to me that we're missing the point. Well, not all of us. Some of us get it, and others don't get it at all, but we're kind of missing the point. Mitt Romney, you've got some explaining to do. But even when he explains it, it doesn't seem to stick. And I'm not even saying he's Teflon. That's, I think, being way too kind. I think the American people have become just too complacent. Anyway, point is today's first word, and it is what it is. A sad day. You know, we talk about, you know, there wasn't a lot going on in sports, and there really wasn't a lot going on in sports. There were some signings, you know, in the free agent signings in basketball, and that's, I guess, a conversation if you're doing a sports show. We don't do a sports show, but... There was a major story that broke yesterday, and it didn't break, really. It was kind of a report. It wasn't kind of. It was a report on what happened at Penn State, and I think that we can fairly safely say, after the reading that I did late in the afternoon yesterday, I watched the press conference with horrid interest. I think that Joe Paterno turned the other cheek in a pretty disgusting way. I don't know, Jeff. As we take a look at that as the Penn State story unfolded, as we kind of watched it from afar, that's one thing. But to see the Judge Freeh's report yesterday and how damning it was for the university, for the president, for the people that were involved, this could have ended many, many years ago, and a lot fewer young men could have been harmed in the process, and they just ignored a lot of stuff.
Well, that's the, when Jim Tressel was in trouble at Ohio State, the one thing that came out, or the one comment that everyone kind of laughed at and thought was funny, was Gordon Gee, the president of Ohio State, saying, I'm just lucky he doesn't fire me.
Right, I remember that.
The problem here is, not only is it coaches, but football programs in general across the country basically own universities. They make so much money for the university that they pay for most other sports. They also pay for salaries of the coaching staff, the coaches, and pretty much the presidents as well. So when your football program is in trouble, or it looks like something might, damage the brand a little bit, you're willing to go to depths that are just, unbelievable. And that's what happened in Penn State. Here are some, people who, especially Joe Pa, morally, upheld the entire, his whole career, the whole time he was alive, people just defending him to no end. And, it's coming out that, even the best-seeming people can be corrupted by the greed and money.
Right, and reading what I read of the report, Joe Paterno did know a lot more than we realized he knew. He did cover up more than was let on, and yes, so did the presidents of the university and lots of other people along that chain. Jeff, what's really disturbing is that there seemed to be a lack of urgency to stop this. That's the part that I don't get. It wasn't that they were just covering this stuff up, or maybe even ignoring it's a better way to say it. But they did nothing to stop it. That's what's astounding to me.
Oh, and that's the thing. I mean, it's... There should have been a lot more done. And not only that, but, he was still allowed on campus. If you're trying to cover something up, then why let him walk around and flaunt it still, as he was allowed to bring kids on campus? And I mean, that right there is one of the reasons why. And I'm getting really sick. I know I listen to sports shows, so of course they're going to go with the sports angle. I'm getting really sick, though, of it being a football discussion or a sports discussion, because the athletic director was involved. The president of the university was involved. This is a Penn State thing. Not only that, but I think it's bigger than Penn State, because we've heard that rumblings around, Happy Valley, which is kind of an odd thing to call it now, but around the university, that this was going on. This involves, higher forces than just, Jerry Sandusky and people at Penn State, which means, it's a huge cover-up that I think that they're going to try and figure out how to to stop at where it's at right now, because they're only looking at, you know, the football program at Penn State. But the thing is that it's bigger than that. You know, I mean, like I've been saying for a long time, the least that should happen is Penn State should get thrown out of the Big Ten. That's the least that should happen. And people are saying, well, why punish the kids that are already there? Look, if you're playing football there and you had nothing to do with this, you can still play football there. You can transfer if you want. Why punish the women's softball team at Penn State? You're not. You're kicking them out of the Big Ten. You can still go play, you know, softball. Well, they had nothing to do with this. How many times is somebody, even though they had nothing to do with it, still punished by actions of people above them, you know? If right now somebody at Clear Channel did something and all of a sudden Clear Channel, you know, dissolved, we would all be affected by it and we had nothing to do with their actions. That's life.
That is life, and I don't disagree with you. And this is not a sports story. This is a legal story. This is a moral story. I mean, it's a lot of things, but it's not a sports story. The framework, the business framework of it just happens to be sports. But you're right. The sanctions should be remarkable. This is unprecedented. I, on the way in this morning, listening to a sports show, and the broadcaster was suggesting this might be the most sensational sports story of all time. I don't disagree with that, but I don't think it's a sports story. I think it might be one of the most sensational stories of all time.
Well, and like we started to say this segment off with, I think the reason why it's a sports story is because sports has gotten so important, so big, so, you know, such a big moneymaker that people are now forgetting their morals and values, and it extends past sports. I mean, it basically rules everything that these universities do.
No, it's disgusting what you folks. If you get a chance, truly, if you get a chance, you can just Google it. And you can find the former FBI director Louis Freeh's report on Penn State and the cover up. You know, we often hear that that cliche: the crime is bad enough, the cover up is usually worse. In this case, nothing could be truer. A quick break here. We'll come back. Lots to get to today on this Friday the 13th. Stay with us. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic and it's quiet, no problems, no accidents or trouble spots anywhere. Do have some closures, 375 northbound at Gratiot Avenue. That exit ramp is closed starting tonight at 9 p.m. Also starting at 9 tonight, 30th Street at 94, that ramp to 94 eastbound will be closed. And 275 southbound at 94, that ramp to 94 eastbound is also closed until 5 a.m. Saturday. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently 69 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
I'm Marge Pavel, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, Cody, to minutes after the hour. I going back to this story out of Penn State, and if you watched any of the press conferences, and I'm going to assume most of you did not. It happened in the afternoon. It was not one of those things that I don't think mainstream TV media was playing. I know they were doing it on the sports channels. MSNBC covered it, but I don't know that everybody did. It doesn't matter. It's one of these stories that I think deserves a lot more attention now than that the story yesterday deserves a lot more attention than it even got. It got a lot of attention. Don't get me wrong. It did get a lot of attention. I just think it deserves even more. And the reason it deserves more is that people need to understand. Here's the issue. The main players in this, the adults in this, are not children. They are not of a generation where you don't understand the difference between right and wrong, or moral and immoral. That's the part that's confusing. Oh, I guess it's not all that confusing if you juxtapose into all this what Jeff was saying. It's about money. And we're talking about college football, which is a multi-billion dollar business. In fact, college football, is my understanding, makes more money than any professional sport. College football makes more money than any professional sport. In fact, I think I read, and I'll have to check this out, and I will during the break, it may make more money than all professional sports combined. College football alone. Now, you got to understand, college football is nationwide. There are thousands of college football programs. And yeah, they are, even in the smallest of schools, they are the bread and butter, and oftentimes the backbone. Jeff, high school football in certain parts of Michigan, are huge money makers for radio stations, especially radio stations in northern and in rural Michigan. High school football rules. It is the way people make money. I don't think people understand how big this is financially.
Well, I mean, going back to college, just think about the big house for University of Michigan. Just until recently, because they have now put weddings in there and other stuff. But before that, 93% of the year, of the entire year, 93% of the year, it sat empty and didn't get used. You're talking about a stadium that seats 102,000 people. Let's just estimate that much. Because, you know, it fluctuates depending on the game. But 93% of the time it sits there useless. I mean, Ford Field doesn't even see half that. And yet they try and find a way to put a concert in there all the time or something to use it. But, you know, college football can, and they sell out. I mean, I don't know when's the last time the Big House didn't have a sellout for football.
Yeah. It's big business. And even being empty 93% of the time, it still makes how much money for
that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's like having, you know, it's like having an elevator for your cars. That shows you have a lot of money.
Yeah, that does show you have a lot of money. I just is it the NCAA that is regulating is levying punishment here? Is that who's in charge, Jeff?
No, the NCAA right now basically says they can't. They're not going to do anything. This is a legal matter. I mean, and the NCAA normally, I would assume, in most cases, it does something when you're trying to cheat to gain a benefit, as far as, you know, the field of play goes. So there isn't a rule in the rule book that says, well, if one of your coaches fondles kids and you cover it up, then here's your penalty. I mean, people say institutional loss of institutional control, but, you know, that's if you're caught cheating recruiting wise or, you know, something along those matters.
So Penn State is basically governing itself, and that's going to place sanctions upon it. Well, the law, but who's suing who? Now you're saying the law is are you saying the State College Pennsylvania suing?
That's suing.
Well, then
it's called people going to jail.
Okay, but that's not the institution. The institution's not being held accountable. Individuals are being held accountable. How is the institution being held accountable here?
Well, that's the thing. Why hold the institution accountable? It was these individuals, and these individuals will pay.
Because
that's,
they have a responsibility to the institution when you are hired. Jeff, these are not assumptions. There are certain responsibilities you have as the president of a college or the vice chancellor or whatever the hell your job title is. With that comes certain responsibilities. One of them is to your board of directors. You have a fiduciary responsibility. There is a financial responsibility to protect that university. When that doesn't happen, then there has to be repercussions for that. All right, now that's to the individual, but I believe that we were just having this conversation before the break. You said that they should be removed from the Big Ten. Well, who's going to remove them?
The Big Ten.
And based on what?
Based on the fact that the Big Ten has guidelines for who can come into their league and I would assume who can stay in their league. I mean, they put themselves out there as a higher standard conference. Like, you need to be good so much, you know, you need to have a certain level of academics, a certain level of athletics, and then, of course, you know, there's the money part of it. Where, you know, what part of the country are you in? How much money can you bring in? How much, you know, all that. I would say that the Big Ten can say, look, your standard, you don't meet our standard anymore. I mean, this is ridiculous. We can't be represented by a university like you.
I guess I want there to be some kind of earth-shattering move. I want something to be so fantastic that it will be felt for generations to come. I want people to tell the story. Remember the once great Penn State? And that, actually, you know, at some level, Jeff, I want Penn State to be put out of business. I really do. I want them to be put out of business. You know, we'll see how many people. We'll see what happens to admissions.
Donations have gone up, believe it or not. I mean, people are rallying around trying to save Penn State that live in that area, that went there, alumni, people that love the, you know, Penn State being in that area. But like I said, I mean, I don't know what the NCAA can do. But if I'm the Big Ten, I kick them out, and then what conference takes them? You know, I mean, that right there slowly starts the. The ball in the right direction. I would, as far as getting punished, because everyone wants to see punishment here. But there's this weird thing in society, especially lately, where, you know, in 5-10 years ago, the NCAA, if your coach did something wrong, bam, you got your whole university felt it, right? 20 years ago, I mean, whenever the SMU thing came down, they gave the SMU the death penalty, which people want to see Penn State get here. But lately, I mean, Jim Tressel just got in trouble, and he fell on the sword. Ohio State got off clean. They put it all on Tressel, and they got away with it. I mean, there's been this separation now, but like you said, you know, the whole university should feel it because they had the responsibility of vetting this guy and hiring him and figuring out what his whole motives were and keeping an eye on him. Instead, now they just say, oh, that was him, not us, and they get away with it.
All right, we'll let it go for now. We have a lot to get to. The big story, of course, today is Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. When did he leave? Why does it matter? And why is this not a bigger story than I believe it should be? Kind of like the Penn State story. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. But we do need to get to the break. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic and it's quiet, no problems, no accidents or trouble spots anywhere. Do have some closures, 375 northbound at Gratiot Avenue. That exit ramp is closed starting tonight at 9 p.m. Also starting at 9 tonight, 30th Street at 94. That ramp to 94 eastbound will be closed. And 275 southbound at 94. That ramp to 94 eastbound is also closed until 5 a.m. Saturday. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently 69 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Some people are too smart for your own good. Food geneticists, for example. These technicians have the smarts to tinker with the inner workings of Mama Nature's own good foods, but not the smarts to leave well enough alone. During the past half century, their productive tinkering devolved into outright tampering with our food, mostly to serve big agribusiness corporations that wanted nature's design altered in ways that would fatten their bottom lines. Never mind that the alterations created by these smart people were not good for you and me. Take the tomato, truly a natural wonder. Agribusiness profiteers, however, wanted it to do unnatural things, so voila! The genetic tamperers dutifully produce the amazing industrial tomato. It's a techno marvel made to endure long distance shipping, be artificially ripened to appear tomatoey red, and last an ungodly amount of time without rotting. But taste? Forget it. There's more flavor in the carton. This led to a grassroots rebellion among consumers and small farmers, resulting in the phenomenal growth in farmers' markets and stores that offer nature's own locally produced and heirloom varieties, untouched by the smart ones. But look out! The tomato tamperers are back in the lab! They've discovered that a mutated gene they had bred into the corporate tomato switches off other genes that would cause the fruit to develop flavor. The answer, they say, is not less technology, but more! By artificially re-engineering the DNA structure of the plant, they can bypass that naughty mutated gene and switch on some of the flavor genes. But do we really want to eat genetically engineered tomatoes?
This is Jim Hightower saying, I can just see the agribusiness ad. Buy our industrial tomatoes, now genetically flavored. Better yet, buy the local tomatoes, which don't need a smart geneticist or an ad to deliver real flavor. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Don't really even know where to begin with this story, but here's the reality. Mitt Romney continues to claim that he left Bain Capital as a CEO and managing partner and president and grand poobah and chief advisor in February of 99 to go run the Olympics. There is compelling evidence discovered by the Boston Globe, a very reputable major publication that shows that he was there till 2002. The problem is between 99 and 2002, some pretty heinous things happened at Bain Capital that if it sticks, because it's apparently true, then Mitt Romney has some serious explaining to do. Now, I tell you that I think this should be front page news this morning. I think that the headline should read, Republican nominee eliminated from contention for lying. Because that's pretty much what he's done. He's lied. But okay, so I said I don't really know where to begin. Let's start with a CNN story on Mitt and Bain. Let's start there and take it from there.
What a day.
Mitt Romney has said repeatedly he left his private investment firm, Bain Capital, in 1999.
I left that business in 1999 to help put the Salt Lake City Olympics back on track.
But this Bain Capital filing at the Securities and Exchange Commission, first reported by Talking Points Memo and the Boston Globe and obtained by CNN, shows Romney as the CEO and president of the company in 2001, 2 years after the GOP contender says he left the firm. The Obama campaign pounced on the document as proof Romney has misled the public about his business career.
Either Mitt Romney, through his own words and his own signature, was misrepresenting his position at Bain to the SEC, which is a felony, or he was misrepresenting his position at Bain to the American people.
The Obama campaign says the SEC documents are crucial because they prove their attack ads are accurate in claiming Romney was at Bain when the firm was advising companies on outsourcing.
Newly published documents show Mitt Romney's firms were pioneers at helping companies outsource their manufacturing.
In its own spot, the Romney campaign insists the Obama ad is a lie because the Republican candidate had left Bain before the outsourcing work began. Democrats say it's Romney who's lying, pointing to the Massachusetts financial disclosure form from his time as governor, showing he made more than $100,000 from Bain in 2001. Roberta Carmel, an SEC commissioner during the Carter administration, says the government documents raise serious questions.
Either the statements in the SEC filings are untrue, and as a former SEC commissioner, I regard that as a serious problem. Or they're true, but he wasn't really on the job.
But in a statement to CNN, a Romney campaign official said SEC regulations are complicated and do not square with common sense in this case. Although Governor Romney was not involved with Bain Capital after he left to head the Winter Olympics in 1999, he was still listed on some technical filings. This is nothing more than a quirk in the law. CNN has obtained from a Democratic official a brand new document filed by Bain Capital to the Massachusetts Secretary of State's office in 2001. It shows Romney as the president of Bain Capital.
All right, so that should be fairly straightforward, right? Well, this gets deep, and we're going to get into it as much as we can. First of all, the Romney campaign, and that was Stephanie Cutter that was the female you heard in that piece. They want an apology. The campaign, and I would assume the governor himself, wants an apology from her. But it gets better. Christopher Rowland, who was on with Rachel Maddow last night, was the reporter from the Boston Globe. Was the reporter from the Boston Globe that wrote the piece that all of this is based on. Now, again, they're asking, well, allegedly asked for a retraction, which the Boston Globe is not forthcoming in doing. This is what Christopher Rowland had to say on Rachel Maddow's show last night.
No, basically the rough outlines are, as you say, I mean, you know, Mitt Romney has used his departure date of 1999 from Bain as his first line of defense for a variety of attacks by the Obama administration and by Democrats, you know, before that for years. Really, he's this has been his main talking point when confronted with things like bankruptcies and layoffs and a lot of the difficult things that Bain did over the years. So what's really interesting now is, though, when you see this paper trail in the SEC documents that list him throughout a variety of documents as president, CEO, chairman of Bain Capital, and as owner, a sole owner of a variety of investment partnerships, including five that were created in 2002. So the paper trail that they created over those 3 years really paints a totally different picture of Mitt Romney's involvement with the firm. If you look at the paperwork alone, it shows that he was the man in charge. That's a big, startling change from the way that they've described it over the years. Now, the key is that he indeed did leave, and he was indeed in Salt Lake. So, you know, to a certain extent, he's legally in charge. I don't think that, you know, the Globe and other reporting is not saying that he was in the boardroom on a daily basis at Bain calling the shots. But certainly these records show that he was in charge. He had legal responsibility. He was the man with oversight responsibility for the company.
Well, is it legal, or I guess more broadly, is it sort of considered kosher in business terms to be listed on SEC filings as a firm's sole stockholder, chairman of the board, chief executive, and president, while you've got partnership agreements, you've got these entities starting up new entities in business, but to actually have that person have no role whatsoever in that firm, is that legally sound?
Well, it's a great question, and, you know, is it ethical, blah, 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 we could go on. Here's part of the challenge. Let's just say it was a technicality. It's a pretty significant technicality. If you are, again, if you are chiefly legally responsible, again, it's president and CEO, it's sole shareholder, you do hold all of the marbles, do you not? I mean, you really do. Now, you know, this goes back to 2002 where, you know, Mitt, keep in mind Mitt's run for the Senate. He's done lots of things since he's left Massachusetts as its governor. But with that said, you know, Mitt in 2002 defending himself, this is why, and this is an ongoing dialogue that he continues to have. This is what he had to say.
You know that at the time that plant closed, I was at the Olympics. And when I left Massachusetts to go run the Olympics and left my organization, I was out there full time. As a matter of fact, as I recall, you brought a challenge against me, and your party did, to say that I wasn't qualified to be governor because I was out in Utah. Well, actually, you were right. I was out in Utah full time. I had no responsibility for management at Bain Capital. Our lawyer has pointed that out to you. The executives at the steel company have pointed that out to you.
But you still haven't answered the question.
You know, you keep asking new questions, so I'm trying to answer them as quickly as I can.
I asked one question.
And the answer is, I was at the Olympics running the games. That was the job I had, and therefore I was not running Bain Capital, and therefore not responsible for the actions of Bain Capital when I left.
And that is Mitt Romney's, ad nauseum the dialogue. You know, I wasn't there. I'm not responsible. Yada yada yada. If you saw Rachel Maddow last night, you know she used that over and over and over again. Well, listen, Ben LaBolt, who has been on this very program, was on television, MSNBC on the Ed Show last night, and said, listen, I understand the governor wants an apology. He's not getting one. This is what he said.
Okay, now the Romney campaign wants President Obama to apologize for Stephanie Cutter's remarks that you heard earlier we played on that conference call about Mitt Romney either being a liar or a potential felon. Will there be an apology?
There won't be. You know, Mitt Romney has been telling voters since he ran for office in Massachusetts that he left Bain in 1999, and the Boston Globe reported today that that wasn't true. That was their first response. Their second response seems to be informing the Drudge Report that suddenly there's a new front runner for their vice presidential
nominee. Well, that tonight is being reported by Drudge, as you said, that Condi Rice is now on the top of the short list. It almost seems as if Mitt Romney and the Romney camp wants this story to go away really fast. Will this intensify for Mitt Romney to be transparent about his finances and release more of his taxes? I mean, how does he make this go away?
Well, that's how he could clear up these questions and answer these questions. You know, his own father released 12 years worth of tax returns. We know his tax returns are available. He provided John McCain with 23 years of worth of returns when he was being vetted for vice president.
All right,
but he won't share those with the American people.
All right. Now, what?
Okay. Sorry, I was taking a sip of my coffee. Let's, again, break this down a little bit before we get to the break. I mean, we're pretty clear. Are we now pretty clear that he was at Bain until 2002? I am. I think you are, too. He was being paid, whether he was doing something or not is irrelevant. He was being paid to be the CEO. Now, there are some that are going to be saying, hey, come on, he only got $100,000 or a little more than $100,000. That's a lot of money and by anybody's illustration, especially if you're not doing anything. Right? So let's just see it for what it is. But the reality, if we stop and think about the lying that's happened, what the lying means, what Bain Capital was doing while he supposedly wasn't in charge, laying off people, investing in foreign governments, betting against the American dollar. I could go on and on and on. It's clear that Mitt Romney had some culpability in that. It's clear now that he did. And if he thinks he's going to move this off the front page by leaking a story about who his front runner would be for the VP, who freaking cares who his front runner is for the VP slot? In fact, nobody cares, or it would be a much bigger story than it is this morning. A quick break. We'll come back, wrap up this hour. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night, I must admit. That is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDPW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle.
UnionCircle.com.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Mitt Romney is a fantastic liar, and at some point, it's either going to stick or it's not going to stick. If it doesn't stick, and you've got to ask yourself this question, if it doesn't stick, if the American people don't go, whoa, wait a minute here, what the hell's going on, and he's allowed to continue to represent the Republican Party, do you wonder if the fix is on? I'm just asking the question, do you wonder if the fix is on? I'll let you answer that question yourself. It's bad stuff, man. This is bad stuff. I hope that you all understand what's going on. I hope you all see what's going on. I hope that you're all sharing the good word. We cannot have somebody like Mitt Romney leading this country. Listen, President Obama has not been the perfect president. I'll grant you that. And he's had profound challenges working with this Congress. That's not his fault. That's not his fault. But is Mitt Romney really the answer to what ails this country? I really can't fathom that's true. Just can't fathom that's true. Joe Biden, our vice president, went to the NAACP yesterday. The day before, it was Mitt Romney getting booed. Well, you know what? In all fairness, Joe Biden got booed too, but for... well, for very different reasons. Let's start first of all with Vice President Biden's chat with the NAACP, talking about the president making tough decisions.
From the very moment that Barack Obama took his hand off that Bible on that cold January day in the mall, he's done just that. He has put country first. When the economy was about to go over the cliff, I watched him make some of the toughest decisions any president has had to make since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He saved the nation's financial system. In doing so, he prevented a worldwide depression. It wasn't a popular decision, but it was an essential decision. And he was right. The tax code that Governor Romney and his allies envisioned continues to be skewed to help the very wealthy. He preserves the Bush tax for the wealthiest among us. $530 billion of that tax cut over the next 10 years going to just 120,000 households in America. While we cut and eviscerate all these other programs, while the debt continues to climb. But in addition, he proposes a $1.6 trillion tax cut. The people who can qualify are only people who make $1 million or more.
All right, and then he goes on. It was, well, by the way, very well received, of course. And then Joe Biden did have to wrap it up and leave at some point, right? He couldn't stay forever, so this is what that sounds like.
There's a lot more to say, but this is preaching to the choir. Let me close, my friends, by saying I want you, I mean this sincerely, just close your eyes and imagine. Imagine what the Romney Justice Department will look like. Imagine when his senior advisor on constitutional issues is Robert Bork.
Imagine the recommendations for who is likely to be picked as Attorney General or the head of the Civil Rights Division or those other incredibly important positions at Justice. Imagine, and I mean this, this to me is one of the most critical issues in this election. Imagine what the Supreme Court will look like after 4 years of a Romney presidency. Folks, this election, in my view, is a fight for the heart and soul of America. Again, these guys aren't bad guys. They just have a fundamentally different view. The best way to sum up the president's view, my view, and I think your view, is we see America where, in the words of Scripture, what you do unto the least of my brethren, you do unto me. As President Barack Obama says, we are our brother's keeper. We are our sister's keeper. We have an obligation. And as at the outset, as I said, I believe this election will come down to character, conviction, and vision. And it will not surprise you, I don't think it's even a close call. So it's time. It's time for the NAACP to do what it's always done. What it did for me, a young kid in Wilmington, Delaware, is inspire a generation to stand up, make our case, stand our ground, and make real our vision for America. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
There you go. Our Vice President Joe Biden. Want to remind you, for those of you that are not aware, he is a lifelong member of the NAACP. That's right, a lifelong member of the NAACP. We're going to go to the phones now and welcome Kevin in Melvindale. Good Friday morning to you, Kevin. What is on your mind?
Oh, I just tuned in. I heard you talking about the wonderful Mitch there.
Yes.
And about his affinity for lying. And you're absolutely right. You know, people got to be connected. You've got to pay attention. The entire Republican agenda has been about deception, false truths, not telling the truth. And, you know, people got to get out and vote, because there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that aren't connected. They aren't really caring about the facts in this whole issue. They, you know, you hear all of the different lies about the Affordable Health Care Act. I mean, so you're absolutely right. People have got to be connected. You've got to know the issues. And you got to know if you are a working class person, if you are a middle class person, if you are a union person, if you are for labor, that I cannot emphasize it to you enough that this Republican Party is not for labor.
Well, they're not. They're not for families. They're not for the middle class. They're not exactly for the average person. Kevin, if people vote for Mitt Romney, if the average American votes for Mitt Romney, they are so disconnected from reality that they don't. They shouldn't even have a right to vote.
They're doing so at their own peril.
Oh, absolutely. Brother, thank you for your call. We're just out of time this hour. Folks, we've got to take a quick break here. This is disturbing stuff. This should be front page news all over the country today. I don't care who his VP pick is. I don't care who's at the top of his list. He shouldn't even be in consideration for this job any longer. If this is a job interview, as Jeff asked on Facebook yesterday, this is a job interview and you've lied on your resume, should you be even considered at this point? We'll leave it there. Kevin Holly and Zach Pohl in the next hour. Joe DeSano coming up at 8 o'clock. We've got a lot of great stuff to do for you on this Friday. Stay where you're at. This is First Shift. We will be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
So far, you got a quiet commute for your Friday the 13th. Let's head over to 275 southbound at 94, where that ramp to 94 eastbound, that is closed until Saturday. 696 westbound, just after Ryan Road, left lane, that's closed, and that starts at 9 a.m. and goes until 3. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently 69 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Top officials at Penn State are ripped in a report on the university's role in the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse scandal for failing to protect the victims. Former university president Graham Spanier and legendary football coach Joe Paterno both named in the report. The report found that Paterno and others showed total disregard for the safety and welfare of Sandusky's child victims. NBC's Michael Isikoff.
Lawyers for Sandusky's victims said Free's report provides powerful new evidence for what is expected to be a flood of lawsuits, and on campus, a painful reevaluation of the legacy of Coach Paterno.
A Delta Airlines flight from New York to Spain was forced to return to JFK Airport yesterday after an air marshal was alerted to some suspicious wires in a restroom. No bomb was found. A tunnel that's more than two football fields long has been discovered linking Sonora, Mexico and San Luis, Arizona. The tunnel was probably being used to smuggle drugs into the United States. This is NBC News Radio. There's bipartisan anger over word that the Ralph Lauren uniforms for U.S. Olympic team members were made in China. Democrat Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
I am so upset that I think the Olympic Committee should be ashamed of themselves. I think they should be embarrassed. I think they should take all the uniforms, put them in a big pile and burn them and start all over again.
A Washington, D.C. police officer is under investigation amid allegations he made threatening remarks against First Lady Michelle Obama while speaking to other officers. According to the Washington Post, the officer, who has served as a motorcycle escort, was overheard saying he would shoot the First Lady, and then he showed a photo on his phone of a firearm he would use. J.P. Morgan Chase Chief Executive Jamie Dimon will meet analysts this morning to defend his bank's bungled trading issues. J.P. Morgan revealed more than $2 billion in trading losses in May. It's been debated how deep the losses could get. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Hi, Dave Lennox here. Summer is here and it is hot. If your home is not cool, now's the perfect time to replace that inefficient heating and cooling system. Lennox is offering a rebate of up to $1,375 on a new high-efficiency Lennox home comfort system, so you'll save money today and in the long run. It may also qualify for state and local incentives in your area. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you and get comfortable today.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Roofing pros, right now at the Home Depot, buy a pallet of GAF shingles, including Timberline shingles with a lifetime limited warranty, and get your entire order, the shingles and any other supplies you need, delivered to your job site for free. You'll eliminate time-wasting supply runs and take your productivity through the roof, thanks to free delivery with any pallet of GAF shingles. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 15th, U.S. only. See store for details.
As Wall Street waits for the second quarter profit report from J.P. Morgan Chase, the big bank is restating its first quarter, reducing its reported net income for that quarter by $459 million. Wall Street's reaction, not much to that. We're still waiting for the big report coming out about the second quarter, and the S&P futures are in the plus column by about 7 points, NASDAQ higher by 15, Dow futures in the plus column by 63. On-demand TV services and digital recorders have spawned a new way to watch TV, binge viewing. That's when you sit down and watch episode after episode of a TV show for hours at a time. The Wall Street Journal says services such as Amazon Video and Netflix have made it cheaper, costing maybe $7.99 a month instead of 10 times that for a bunch of DVDs. A new Netflix feature called Post Play with a pop-up menu. As ending credits roll, it prompts viewers to play the next episode. I'm Steve Potusky in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
Managing your own business takes a number of essential apps.
I think I have every one of them.
One is all you need.
Yeah, the contact managing one, the project tracking one, the work sharing one, and the client billing one.
No, just the all-in-one.
Which one?
Sage One, a simple web app that puts it all together for business.
That one.
The only one.
How do I get one?
Visit sagetoday.com for your 30-day free trial of Sage One.
Nice one.
That's sagetoday.com.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, by making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the service you need and save money on gas. $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver Package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 831.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now, as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
Well, it does this morning anyway. Good morning, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this, yes, Friday the 13th, 2012. Get over it. It's just another day. It's a Friday. I hope everybody's doing well. Hope you're all preparing and planning a wonderful weekend. Weather-wise, I think we're going to be okay. So let's make the best of it. In the meantime, we have lots of important stuff to talk about as we work our way through the hour, so I want to remind you, if at any point you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. The toll-free number, 888-552-3595, the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, that's .org, and on Twitter, @TonyTruppiano. We haven't, in fact, Jeff and I were talking earlier in the week and said, hey, we haven't talked to Kevin Holley in a while, so we turned our attention to doing just that. And joining us now is the Democrat running against Brooks Patterson in Oakland County for that title and responsibility of Oakland County Executive is my friend Kevin Holley. Kevin, a pleasure to have you back on the show today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Man, oh man, what interesting times. Certainly, I mean, certainly living in Oakland County, you could, we could certainly talk about Thad McCotter, but I don't need to do that. There's lots of other things to talk about. In fact, you and I were chatting on the phone, yesterday, day before, and, you know, you had shared with me that the Oakland County Commission, along party line votes, voted to not, and this was just a symbolic vote, but voted not to support the new bridge. And I thought that was such an odd thing that, every single Republican, I want to remind this audience, Brooks Patterson is very much a Republican, every single Republican on the county commission voted against the bridge that just about everybody else, including the Republican governor of the state, wants. I thought this was really odd. Any idea what the feeling is behind that?
Well, and it,
It's amazing because, as you said, it was a 16-9 party line vote. Every single Republican voted against the bridge project. And then on top of it, as you mentioned, it was a vote that didn't need to happen. It was completely, for purposes of sending a message, it had no effect. So you have to wonder what was behind 16 Republicans in lockstep when it's not necessarily a Republican or Democratic issue opposing the bridge project. It makes no sense. It makes you question, you know, do they have somebody that's supporting them out there that's encouraging them to vote this way?
Well, then it makes me wonder, where does Brooks stand on the bridge? Has Brooks come out publicly for it, against it, or is it like a lot of the things, well, let's just let the public decide?
Well, on this one, he has come out in favor of the bridge. I think what my concern or problem is that this vote should have never happened. Because, you know, if Brooks was going to play a leadership role in the county and the region, he should have gone to the Republican commissioners and said, hey, you do this, and you're going to send a very negative message. The folks in Canada are watching. The folks around the world are watching. Here we're trying to attract businesses to Oakland County, and we've got 16 commissioners saying, well, we're not going to help with growth in the region. We're not going to help with the transit issues in terms of products and goods flowing between countries. I mean, where was the leadership to make sure this vote never even happened? And now it's making, you know, national and international news.
Yeah, but Kevin, I mean, this is kind of a pattern for Brooks to talk about leadership. I mean, let's talk for a minute about the zoo. You know, Brooks couldn't have been more wrong about the zoo. In fact, it took you to point out to him that the zoo actually happens to be in Oakland County.
Well, that was amazing. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the Free Press did an editorial basically criticizing Brooks and criticizing Oakland County for not being a better player regionally. And to defend his commitment to the region, he pointed to the zoo millage, which again was a millage that the voters decided on. Brooks took a passive position, let the voters decide sort of thing, showed no leadership there, but said, well, you know, this millage has been approved and voters are sending money to the city of Detroit. Well, the reality is the Detroit Zoo is in Royal Oak and Huntington Woods and in the backyard here, Oakland County, and frankly, the zoo brings jobs and tourists and activity to Oakland County. So I'm not sure what he was thinking.
All right, well, let's take that step. We'll pick something that's not in Oakland County, Cobo. You know, the renovation of Cobo, you know, Brooks has said, of course, well, heck, you know, we're supporting that and sending millions upon millions of dollars for that project when... Yeah, not so much. It's more the business travelers and tourists that visit Oakland County that are paying that tab. Isn't that right?
Well, and he's out there telling people, well, Oakland County residents and Oakland County voters are sending all this money down for the Cobo project. Well, the reality is it is a hotel tax, and visitors from all over the world are coming to the entire region. So, you know, whether they stay above 8 Mile in Southfield or below 8 Mile someplace in Detroit, everybody's paying the same tax and participating in, you know, renovating and supporting the renovations and the growth of Cobo. So the logic just isn't there. And again, it just kind of goes against that whole passive leadership issue.
Oh, so let's stick with that for a moment. I mean, you know, Kevin, if you were Oakland County executives, I think it's a fair question. How would you be doing it differently?
Well, I think one of the things that we have seen over the last 20 years is Patterson has really isolated Oakland County from the rest of the region. I mean, just as a culture, an attitude, and that goes right again to the heart of the issue of image in the region. And, you know, when businesses are looking for an opportunity to establish themselves somewhere, they're looking for a regional cooperative approach. We don't have that. We're not engaging leaders around the region. A good case in point right now that's very topical, very current, is this DIA millage. The reality is Oakland County's taken a completely passive role. Brooks Patterson's whole approach is, well, let the voters decide. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure it's going to be the best solution for the DIA because you've only got 3 counties involved right now. Why is the state of Michigan not at the table to talk about this long-term sustainability issue? Why are counties like Washtenaw and Monroe and St. Clair not at the table? We've got 3 counties, Macomb, Wayne, and Oakland. taking the lead on this project. So we don't even have a regional solution around this. It's just a theme that Oakland County is going to just step back and not get engaged. And at the end of the day, are we really getting the best solutions for the region?
Now, I think that is an important question. I know that one of the things that you have done, and I think done quite well, the idea of Brooks Patterson actually putting on a pair of comfortable shoes and knocking doors makes me smile, because I can't fathom that he walks any further from his desk to his car where the driver's waiting to take him somewhere. With that said, you have been knocking a lot of doors. Tell me, because we've had this conversation, Kevin Hawley, many times, and I think it's important that we have it again. Tell me what kind of things the people in Oakland, the voters in Oakland County, are talking about. More specifically, I guess we'll take a two-prong approach. What are they interested in? And when they meet you, are they pleased that there's somebody running against Brooks?
Well, the reaction as I knock doors has been extremely positive, and we've been, frankly, trying to target a lot of independent and what one might call lean Republican type of voters, because Oakland County, although it leans Democratic at this point through all the modeling, people tend to swing both ways in Oakland County and from the middle. And so the interesting thing is people really feel like the feedback I'm getting that the county's gotten complacent. We don't have a strategy for taking the county forward. And oftentimes invariably every night one or two voters actually use the quote that Brooks likes to tout, which is he's the king of sprawl. And then we have conversations around that. Well, the reality is, sprawl doesn't work if you don't have growth. And Oakland County's not in a situation right now, and the region's not in a situation where we have a lot of growth. So people want to know how we're going to reuse the assets that are already there. Every community has vacant malls. Every community has vacant manufacturing buildings. And they want those filled. So it's a paradigm shift out there.
Well, you have in Oakland County, because I used to live in Oakland County, you have a real dichotomy, because you have some of the most profoundly poverty-stricken areas in the state and some of the wealthiest areas in the state. And that creates a real challenge for real leadership. And I emphasize real leadership because I'm not so sure Brooks is paying attention to the Pontiacs and other areas where there have been some challenges economically.
Well, and we're not. And if we don't pay attention, and if it doesn't get the attention it needs, then you kind of let organizations or communities go over the cliff. And I think that there are things that we can do to prevent that. I was in Rochester yesterday, the Older Persons Commission in Rochester. They have an amazing community center out there. They had an event. And, folks in Rochester are quick to recognize that things are good for them right now. The community has benefited from sprawl. They're dealing with growth and those types of things, but they know that at the southern end of the county, there are challenges in the inner-ring suburbs. School districts are having to shut down schools. You've got communities that are struggling to balance their budget.
Kevin Hawley, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought, because
sure,
we got to get to the break. We'll come back and get to more, I promise, including jobs, because isn't that everybody's dialogue these days? I know it's mine. Kevin Hawley, again, is the Democrat running for Oakland County Executive. And why you should vote for him if you live in Oakland County? Well, he's doing the job interview right now. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
So far, so good on your commute. Just got some construction for you. 696 westbound just after Ryan Road. Left lane will be closed from 9 to 3. 275 southbound at 94. That ramp to 94 eastbound will be closed. And 75 northbound between 96 and 375. You got some planned weekend construction there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently 69 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Marge Faville, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hardworking families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Kevin Holley, again, my guest. Kevin is the Democrat running for Oakland County Executive against L. Brooks Patterson. Before we get back to our specific discussion, you know, Kevin, I've got to ask, how's your family holding up? I mean, I've run for office. I know how challenging it can be. How's your family doing?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, fortunately, with it being the summer, there's a little bit more flexibility, but I've got two young kids, as you probably know, 6 and 13, and we talked about it early what this might mean, but until you actually get into it, it's hard to really know. But they're holding up well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I mean it is tough. It really is. You're away from home a lot, and even if you're bringing them along with you, let's be honest about it. How many 6 and 13 year olds are going, cool, we're going to knock doors with dad? It's just not happening.
Actually, my six-year-old loves it because she likes to hold the lit piece and be able to offer the lit piece to the voter.
Even better. Well, I'm sure that works in your favor. You were saying right before the break, and then we'll migrate over to the jobs issue, that even in Rochester, where they're, you know, is experiencing some success, they understand that on the southern part of their border, there are some challenges there. Understanding it and actually recognizing it, though, are two different things, are they not?
Well, and that's the thing that I found astounding about this whole process, is that, you know, the Patterson administration, honestly, has done a very good job spinning the data or spinning the story to their benefit. And frankly, the press covers whatever they put out there. So there's not acknowledgement of what is going on in the county. And if you don't acknowledge it, you can't fix it. So that's the thing. I mean, I just feel like Brooks is so busy spinning his own story that when do you take the time to say, okay, well, how can we really address some of these issues?
Well, let's throw, I think, what is a big story out there. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, you know, I read somewhere where Brooks, you know, say, hey, listen, we're pretty much at capacity. We're doing really well. In fact, you know, I don't know that we can do a whole lot better with jobs. I'm not so sure, Kevin Hawley, you're agreeing with that.
No, I mean, it's just amazing to me. In terms of trying to set the culture at the county offices, he plastered a letter to his economic development team to say, hey, by June 2013, we'll have added enough jobs to be at full employment in Oakland County. And he's defining full employment at 5%, which, you know, we could debate. But the reality is, if that statement were true, based on the projections that he's using, we will have added back 41,000 jobs from the bottom of this crisis. Well, the problem is we lost over 170,000 jobs. And the only reason he comes up with that full employment calculation is because folks have moved out of the area, jobs have moved out of the area, and people have moved out of the workforce. The reality is we're still down 130,000 jobs. So I don't even – that to me is just complete – being completely oblivious to the underlying reality of the situation. It amazes me.
No, you're being much kinder than I am, because to me that sounds like lying.
Well, it's taking the statistics and just trying to get the press to print the story you want to tell, which is, you know, given the circumstance, this is what it is. Let's not look at what's happened in the past and where we should and could be.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the press. You mentioned the Free Press was a little bit critical of Brooks, but for the most part, they seem to be in love with this guy, especially the Oakland Press, which is well-read. It's still, you know, the prominent paper, newspaper in Oakland County. Have you had trouble kind of infiltrating the Fourth Estate?
I would say yes, I mean, absolutely. I think to your question or comment relative to the Oakland Press, I would say that they've actually been very fair, especially when the State of the County came out and then the annual economic report came out. You know, Brooks put out his spin. They printed that. I printed a very detailed response, which is posted on my website, and the Oakland Press covered that. The other media in town has not covered any of that feedback, and it's disappointing. I realize the primaries have created a lot of noise, but it sure would be nice to get the rest of the Fourth Estate covering this race.
Well, it's interesting. Let's talk about the primaries, because you and I talked the other day, and I didn't realize that Brooks actually had a primary challenger. Now, I think we can safely say Brooks is going to come through that just fine. But with that said, Kevin, it also gives us an opportunity to kind of break down the temperature of Oakland Countyites, if you will. Not everybody loves this guy. And again, I'm not suggesting that, you know, that this challenger is going to beat him, but I believe he's a Tea Party guy, correct?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think it's kind of one of these perennial candidates that's not affiliated with anybody.
Gotcha.
And,
all right.
In fact, I don't even think the press can find him right now. But it is but it is a name on the ballot that's different than Brooks in the Republican primary.
Yeah, but that does force people to go and vote in that category. I don't care how many it is. It does force people to do that.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see as a protest. I'm not even pretending that Brooks is going to have trouble with this primary, because that's not going to happen. But it will be interesting to see if people are paying attention. And so I'm very curious to see what those numbers are. That also, of course, puts your name on the ballot, does it not, on August 7th?
It does. It does. And it's interesting, as I go door to door, I don't have an opponent in the primary, but yesterday I was knocking doors in Berkeley, and somebody would say, oh, I just voted for you, or I just saw your name on the ballot. So that having absentee ballots out there is helping with the name recognition.
Yeah, it starts to get awfully real at this point, doesn't it, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. And it's good that I'm kind of feeling like I'm getting over that name recognition hurdle, because then you can start right into talking about some of the issues.
Well, and name recognition, of course, is the name of the game. I would think at some point, you and I, Listen, the very first interview that you and I did together, it was about, you know, raising money and raising money and raising money. So I hope that, and I know, because, again, we talked the other day, that you spend part of every day doing just that, raising money. And no matter what you raise, it's never going to be enough. But you do what you have to do, and you try to make the best of it. And really, for you, this is about the general election in November. And between now and then, you save as much money as you can. You knock on as many doors as you can. You keep on talking about the issues that you know the people in Oakland County care about the most.
Well, we've got the right messaging, and that's the one thing you kind of, you know, understand when you're out knocking doors. And at some point, the press is going to pick up the messaging because voters care about what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question that's true. Well, let's get out some information. Where can we find you online?
It's Howley for Executive. It's H-O-W-L-E-Y, and it's for F-O-R spelled out, howleyforexecutive.com.
All right. And then, of course, on Facebook, I would imagine you've got a Facebook page.
Kevin Howley. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just search for that. And you will find Kevin that way. And I got to tell you, I've seen a maturation in you, Mr. Howley, since you and I first talked, in a good way. I really see that you're much more comfortable being a candidate. You certainly are very comfortable with message, and you seem to be growing into this quite nicely. I think you're hitting your stride at the right time, Kevin.
Well, I hope so. I'm not a politician by background, so it's all new to me.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. All right, Kevin, thanks so much. We're just out of time for today. We'll visit again soon, of course, and if there's anything we can do, all you need to do is let us know.
Thanks. We hit a lot of good topics.
You bet. Kevin Howley, once again, a Democrat running for Oakland County Executive against L. Brooks Patterson. Seriously, think about voting Howley. Let's take a quick break here. My friend, Zach Pohl, the executive director of Progress Michigan. When First Shift continues, stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
You have a trouble-free commute for your Friday the 13th. Just some construction notes, 94 East and West, just east of Milford Road. Road construction has you reduced down to three lanes. And 275 southbound at 94, that ramp to 94 eastbound is closed until 5 a.m. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently 69 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Tripiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Just 2 weeks after broken levees flooded New Orleans, the city's public school teachers and staff were put on a leave of absence without pay, only to be fired months later. On June 20th, an Orleans Parish Civil District Court judge ruled that this termination was wrongful. Zoe Sullivan has more from New Orleans.
Approximately 7,500 teachers and school staff lost their incomes just weeks after the city was inundated with floodwaters in August 2005. The loss of income prevented many from rebuilding and returning home. In late March 2006, these employees were terminated. Seven former Orleans Parish School Board workers brought in attorney Willie Zanders to file a wrongful termination case. On June 20th, a New Orleans court awarded roughly $1 million in damages to the seven and opened the door for claims by the thousands of others who lost their jobs at the same time. Zanders explained one reason the court ruled in favor of the plaintiffs.
All of the employees were put on a status quo, disaster leave and without pay. So disaster leave without pay. There's no such employment status in board policy, according to the court. There's no such policy under state law.
Two of the plaintiffs told Workers Independent News that they had filed the case in the hopes of obtaining justice. Cynthia Jordan, a single parent, had taught in the school system for 16 years when she lost her job. She says that the terminations had repercussions beyond education.
The school board hired
and employed, shall I say, your middle-class citizens. When you start looking at your middle-class citizens, you're looking now at your chronic voters. When you look at your chronic voters, you're looking at the political arena. The face of the city changed when this school system was annihilated. We also took away the African-American political arena for the city of New Orleans.
According to the U.S. Census, New Orleans has lost roughly one-third of the population it had prior to Katrina. The schools have also become a national laboratory for education reform. Roughly 80% of public school children in New Orleans now attend charter schools, which are subject to less oversight by the local school district. While no announcements have been made yet, it's expected that the defendants, the Board of Education and the State Department of Education, will appeal the decision. For Workers Independent News, I'm Zoe Sullivan in New Orleans.
This report was made possible in part by a grant from the Burger Marx Foundation.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Now,
here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. I've really been looking forward to this next half hour. We have not visited with Zach Pohl in a while. We have a lot of time, so we don't need to rush. We can get to lots of issues, but not that we have a ton of them. But this is just a really nice opportunity to visit with somebody that I care a lot about. So let me turn my attention now and do a little more proper introduction. Joining me is Zach Pohl. Zach, as many of you know, is the fairly newly minted executive director of Progress Michigan, where he finds himself embroiled in lots of campaigns. There's no lack of things for Zach and the staff at Progress Michigan to do on a daily basis, and we are fortunate to have Zach with us today. And Zach, I appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Hey, Tony, thanks for having me.
How you been, buddy?
I'm good. No, yeah, you're right. Actually, we're a little fortunate in that the legislature is on break right now, so they can't do any more damage. The bad news is they're coming back next Wednesday on the 18th, so who knows what they'll try to push through then, but needless to say, we've been aggressively pushing back and trying to hold lawmakers accountable back in their home districts, and we're going to keep the pressure up all summer long.
Is that a one-day-only session, or are they going to be back for a couple days?
I think for now it's just a one-day session. It's a little unclear, I guess, what's going to be on their agenda next week. There's been some talk about House Republicans trying to revive the voter suppression bill that Governor Snyder vetoed last week, but I guess we'll just sort of have to wait and see at this point.
Well, why don't we start there? Because, Zach, you are the first, I obviously get a lot of announcements and press releases. Yours was the first statement that I got when, in fact, how I found out that the governor had vetoed, because you released a statement pretty quickly after it was announced the governor had vetoed that. Let's talk a little bit about that. I think that we were all fairly surprised. You, like everybody else, certainly gave him credit for doing the right thing. So I want to point that out, and people keep asking me, why do you keep pointing out? Because it's important we point out that the governor does something right, because we want him to continue to understand that when he does something right, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not every day that I'm out there praising Governor Snyder. Certainly, our organization doesn't agree with a lot of his agenda over the last year and a half or so, but he really did the right thing here on these, by vetoing these three voter suppression bills. They really would have made it increasingly difficult for communities of color, young people, people in underserved communities to make their voices heard at the ballot box. We've seen similar efforts in other states like Florida and Pennsylvania. And in fact, one legislator in Pennsylvania came right out and said, these voter suppression bills are going to help Mitt Romney win in Pennsylvania. That's what this is really about. This is about more election year partisan politics and suppressing people's right to vote. So we applauded Governor Snyder when he did the right thing by vetoing these bills, and we hope he stays strong. There's been talk in Lansing about House Republicans bringing these bills back for another vote, making some changes. We certainly hope Governor Snyder will stay strong and stand by his vetoes on these bills.
Well, Zach, Republican Secretary of State Ruth Johnson gave an interview just last week and said, well listen, if the governor finds this confusing, I can certainly propose some changes that would clear this stuff up immediately. I swallowed hard and went, oh, please. But listen, crazier things have happened.
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting. I mean, House Democrats proposed quite a few amendments to clarify the law and, you know, sort out some of the problems that were really going to, you know, make it more difficult for groups like the League of Women Voters, the NAACP, to register voters. And they were soundly rejected. Republicans refused to pass any of the Democratic amendments, which is often the case in Lansing. And now suddenly, after the governor vetoed the bills, they seem to be open to making some changes. But bottom line is, these bills are bad news for democracy in Michigan, and we think the governor needs to stay strong and stand by his vetoes.
No, obviously, we feel the same way on this very program. I do want to remind people, Zach, you know, oftentimes people don't realize that you, Progress Michigan, is a nonpartisan organization, and although there might be those that question that, do not question it, because you are not only are you open to, but you're willing to work with anybody that comes to your doorstep and wants to advocate for those things that actually provide, what's that word, progress. There we go. That's, you're willing to do that with anyone.
Absolutely. We want Michigan to be a better place for everyone to live in, you know, people all over the state. And it's really about strengthening the middle class to move our economy forward. And, you know, it's been unfortunate that we've seen over the last year, leadership in Lansing, it's just they've had the wrong priorities when it comes to protecting the middle class. Instead, they've, you know, continually cut education, raised taxes on seniors, and just really done nothing to help rebuild our economy. Really what's been sort of driving the turnaround in Michigan has been the auto rescue, which we all know was driven by President Obama. And so, well, it's great to see that Michigan's auto industry has come roaring back. We really just can't afford more of these cuts to our education, more taxes on seniors, which is unfortunately what Lansing Republicans have been pushing over the last year and a half.
Yeah, no question. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about some of these ballot initiatives. One specifically that has not gotten as much attention, it will be getting more, but it has not gotten as much attention, and may be one of the more, if not the most, dangerous one, and that, of course, is the new tax proposal, the one that would require three-fourths of vote of the legislature. And I want to remind people, before we go any further and explain what this is about, Zach, that this exact legislation has landed the state of California in more hot water than they know what to do with. So I want people to understand there's a precedence for this. Explain to my audience what this ballot proposal is all about and why we need to be suspicious of it.
Sure. Well, I mean, first of all, this so-called supermajority proposal is just ultimately a super bad idea that we know is really about lining the pockets of rich CEOs and powerful special interests. And like you said, it's ultimately going to hurt our middle class. We've seen it in other states. And as you said, it's actually a two-thirds majority that would be required under this proposal. It would essentially require a two-thirds vote either of the state legislature or of the people to raise any new taxes. And what that means essentially is it would let a small minority of entrenched special interests, so think big oil, big banks, big health insurance companies, it would essentially let them protect their special tax breaks and loopholes forever. That's what this is really about. And we think that's bad news for Michigan's middle class. We've seen in other states this leads to drastic cuts to K-12 schools, to higher education, to infrastructure, so roads and bridges. And we just can't afford that right now. We need to focus on rebuilding Michigan's middle class and not lining the pockets of powerful special interests.
Yeah, and Zach, for people that don't think that lobbyists have control, when you have a state like Michigan that has term limits where lobbyists have more institutional memory than most of your members of either the state House or the state Senate, you need to be very, very concerned about who's pushing what buttons, who's advising whom, and who's sitting in those chairs.
Absolutely. You know, it's sad. It's just one of the sad consequences of term limits is that we're constantly getting people in Lansing with no experience and no knowledge of how state government actually works. And so what winds up happening is you get these lobbyists that are funded by wealthy corporations who help them draft, even sometimes, legislation that's more about protecting the profits and tax loopholes for these large corporations than it's going to help protect Michigan's middle class. And so it's just one of the unfortunate consequences of term limits, but that's why this proposal is so dangerous, because it would make it even harder to raise the revenue that it's going to take to invest in 21st century education and fix our crumbling roads and bridges here in Michigan.
Well, again, of the many education efforts that we will do, this is one of them. Very quickly, before we let you go, the United States Supreme Court reaffirmed the constitutionality of what is called Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. The Progress Michigan's thoughts on that?
Oh, well, we were certainly, you know, I think actually, like a lot of folks, a little surprised actually to see this Supreme Court come down with what was the right and correct ruling. I personally spent about a year and a half of my life working for a member of Congress when we were trying to pass this bill, and so it was heartening to me to see the rule of law actually won out here as opposed to partisan politics. And ultimately, this is going to help make sure everyone in America has access to quality, affordable health care. And that's something that people have been trying to do for decades here in the United States, and hopefully it's finally going to become a reality now. But what needs to happen is the legislature and Governor Snyder needs to get to work right now to pass the health insurance exchanges that are going to help create a marketplace for consumers to buy affordable health care in Michigan. So it's time for them to stop with these partisan games and get to work on that.
Partisan games, indeed. Let's remind people where we can find you online, and then I'm gonna do a little something for you. So where do we find you online, Zach Pohl?
ProgressMichigan.org. Folks can go there and sign up for more information. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And like I said, we're really focused on holding politicians in Lansing and Washington accountable. And frankly, we just need more people out there holding their feet to the fire, and that's what we're focused on.
Yep, absolutely. So the one thing that I want to do is, if you go to ProgressMichigan.org, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you can designate $10 a month, $10 a month towards Progress Michigan. The work they do is completely funded by people like you and I. And without our contributions, they would not exist. And the good work that they do and all the advocacy efforts that they do on behalf of so many organizations that we care about is critical, really critical to a vision that matters to all of us. So I want to ask all of you if you would consider making a monthly gift to Progress Michigan. Zach, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We'll have to do this a little more often than we have been, but I know you've been busy, so thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Tony.
You bet. Zach Pohl, again, the executive director of Progress Michigan. A quick break here. We'll be open lines on the other side. Talk to you a little bit about Union Circle when we continue. It's a brand-new social networking site that is growing quickly. It is absolutely free. You need to know more about it. I'm going to take care of that on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Hot dog. Yep, that's me. Yeah, no, shoot, no shame in my game. You can almost get that here and now.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after
this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford.
I think this is a perfect example of what politics have put us in this country. Here we are, citizens, working every day, and it's these splinter issues that get us to arguing amongst each other when those above us who don't feel our pain are more or less in control of all the switches. Because we see teachers and they're in our community, and it's easy for us to make these opinions. While these other individuals, the rich, have already seceded from the nation, they live in gated communities, they go to private schools, they've already moved away from us.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Feel free to join us, by the way. 888-552-3595. I mentioned a little earlier, unioncircle.com. And I tell you, it is, it's free. Let me just give you some, just a little lesson on this. It's a social media site. There's no question that's true. And it integrates beautifully with Facebook and Twitter. So that's great. The people that are putting, or that have put this site together thought of everything. I mean, they've really thought of everything. And if you want to just go and sign up, you just go to unioncircle.com and sign up. It's that simple. There's nothing as complicated. I mean, just you'll see it. It's very, very simple. What do you get? Well, you get a lot of things. You get access to information. You get access to deals, which is very, very cool. You get access to a community of like-minded people. You do not need to be in a union to join this. It doesn't cost if you are not in a union either. This is going to grow very quickly, and I love the idea of getting in on something on the ground floor. Now, listen, I'm not financially benefiting from this. I'm just saying, this is a really unique idea, and I want you to get in on it. So just go to unioncircle.com and join today. If you are an advertiser, if you have a product or service that you would like to offer to the membership of unioncircle.com, if you would just send me an email, I will connect you to the people at Union Circle because they have a phenomenal opportunity for you. I mean phenomenal, and I don't feel I'm at liberty to share it on air, but if you just send me an email, if you've got a product or service that you want to offer to the members of Union Circle, I'm just talking to discount, I'm not talking something free. No, I mean, if you've got something free and you want to offer it, just let me know, and we'll make that happen too. But I'm just telling you, I'm going to connect to the people at unioncircle.com, and you're going to be so grateful that I did. You really are. So if you've just been kind of thinking about it, I know you've heard the commercial a couple times. I really want you to go check it out. Just go check it out and decide for yourself. Again, it's free. It's not like it's going to cost you anything if you join. That's the whole point, right? I mean, that really kind of is the whole point. All right. We spent a great deal of time in the last hour talking about Willard's Willard's problem with Bain Capital. And I'd love to spend the entire day doing that. I just, there's so much more going on. A couple things that I'm going to just quickly throw out there. And again, I want to invite you to join us if you've got a point of view on anything this morning, which is 888-552-3595. I am sure you've all heard the controversy right now, not the first time, but in the Olympics, the uniforms that the USA will be wearing are made in China. Jeff found that story for me. In the interim, a couple other people sent it to me, but Jeff discovered it first. And, it's just, let's just say that the Harry Reid and others are not terribly happy with that news. There's also a strike in the Metro Detroit area. The Pipefitters Local, I'm going to get it wrong, Jeff, 676?
36.
Thank you. Did I do that? I think I did. I think I inadvertently did that. So I apologize when I was grabbing something. We're going to have them on, I believe it's Tuesday, and we'll get you more information on that. But we haven't had a bona fide, we had a walk-off with the communication workers a couple weeks ago. We haven't had a bona fide strike in the area in a long time. And this is going to be one of those stories where you're going to really want to pay attention to. Carl Evans, who is the managing director for MCA, said the association representing area businesses denied a demand for raises by the Detroit Pipe Fitters, Steam Fitters, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Service Local 636 during negotiations Monday. But it's much deeper than that, and this is not something that just happened on Monday. This has been going on for weeks, and so we are, of course, going to be on the side of labor on this, as we always are, and why wouldn't we be? Before I forget, and I have been forgetting, I've only mentioned it a couple times, on Monday, I am going to be moderating a candidates forum in the 14th Congressional District at the Grosse Pointe War Memorial. So most of you, of course, in that area know where it's at. You can easily Google it and find it. But it starts at the doors open at 6. The festivities begin at 6:30. All of the major candidates, Hanson Clark has been invited. Gary Peters has been invited. Brenda Lawrence has been invited. Mary Waters has been invited. It's a candidates forum. I am the moderator. We will be doing a Q&A. We want to encourage everybody to attend. It should be an amazing night. It's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Yes, I'm staying up past my bedtime. But I actually had to go out and buy a new suit yesterday because I didn't have anything to wear. So it was kind of fun to do that. While I was there, I started dreaming about, you know, getting another 40 pounds off and really buying some clothes. But for now, we'll just leave it there and tell you that it was kind of cool. Anyway, it's not about me and buying new clothes. It's about, and I just bought a suit, but it is about the candidates forum. So I want to encourage you all to come this Monday. It's this Monday evening. Starts at 6:30. Doors open at 6, starts at 6:30. It should be a fascinating night. You get an opportunity in the new 14th District to listen to, Congressman Hanson Clark, Congressman Gary Peters, Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence, and former State Rep Mary Waters talk about why they deserve your vote. This is an important election. And whoever wins the primary will be representing that district in Congress because a Republican will not win that race. There's no question that's true. So you want to be mindful of that. So I've been forgetting to mention that and wanted to do it right now. And another story that we're working on for next week, the ACLU, if you didn't see it yesterday, late in the day, the ACLU is suing the state and the city of Highland Park, the school system in Highland Park, and the emergency manager for failing to teach Highland Park school children to read. This would be a landmark case. Well, it is a landmark case, but it depending on how it proceeds in the courts and what happens with it, what could be could change education. You know, we continue, and David Hecker put a statement out yesterday, we continue to talk about education reform in the state of Michigan. But we don't see reform. We see financial reform. We don't see educational reform. And this goes back to something that I have said repeatedly, and I think either don't hear me or don't believe me. Any teacher that hears me right now knows this is true. The politicians that want to reform education never invite rank-and-file teachers to the table to have that discussion. They ask principals, they ask counselors, they ask superintendents. They don't ask the people in the damn classroom. Why is that? Joe DeSano on the other side. I promise it's always good with Joe. You'll want to stay where you're at and come back just after the top of the hour. We'll take the break and be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
You have a trouble-free commute for your Friday the 13th. Just some construction notes, 94 east and west, just east of Milford Road. Road construction has you reduced down to three lanes. And 275 southbound at 94, that ramp to 94 eastbound is closed until 5 a.m. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently 69 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet,
tweet.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Barton Eckert. Scare in the sky. A Delta jetliner bound from Madrid returned to Kennedy International last night as a precaution after a passenger reported strange wiring in a bathroom. NBC's Tom Costello.
They determined that the wires were not part of the plane and not part of any explosive device. And, in fact, there was no threat to the plane. All of the passengers were cleared and the plane continued on to Madrid.
Thousands of old FBI cases will be reviewed by the Justice Department. This comes months after the Washington Post reported FBI lab technicians mishandled evidence. J.P. Morgan Chase, the biggest U.S. bank by assets, says its losses from complicated London trades gone sour were almost $4.5 billion last quarter, up from the original estimate of $2 billion. The U.S. Olympic team's uniforms are rubbing Congress the wrong way. They were made in China and have generated bipartisan irritation. This is NBC News Radio. Penn State alumni are trying to come to grips with the impact an investigation into the school's handling of the Jerry Sandusky scandal will have. A report concludes that the late football coach and other top Penn State officials concealed what they knew about Sandusky's sexual abuse of children. Here is NBC's Michael Isikoff.
The school's board of trustees last night issued a public apology for the school's failure to protect what it said were the vulnerable young boys victimized by former defensive coach Jerry Sandusky.
San Francisco lawmakers are considering an ordinance that would require new and renovated buildings with water fountains to install special bottle-filling taps to boost the use of reusable bottles. Security researchers say hackers got more than just Yahoo account details from a server. The stolen data includes information for Gmail, Hotmail, and AOL. The hackers posted online the usernames and passwords of more than 450,000 accounts. I'm Barton Eckert, NBC News Radio.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, by making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the service you need and save money on gas. $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 831-12.
The Make Room for Savings event is on at the Home Depot now through August 12th. You'll find organization inspiration from top brands like Martha Stewart Living, Husky, and Home Decorators Collection. And right now, you'll also find a four-tiered black shelf unit, a special buy, just $19.88. Garage, closet, home, or office, it's a great time to make room for savings now through August 12th. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
The London Whale is out of a job. The trader at the center of the J.P. Morgan Chase trading debacle and two others who worked with him are no longer with the bank. Their departure becomes official as J.P. Morgan reports those trading losses came in at $4.4 billion, more than twice the earlier estimate. And Chief Executive Jamie Dimon says the losses could still grow by almost $2 billion more. Second quarter profit of $5 billion was down just 9% despite the continuing losses from the botched credit trades. Sales of video game software fell 29% during the month of June. Those results from the NPD Group are roughly in line with predictions from analysts for the month. Sales of game hardware slumped by 45% as the current generation of consoles continue to show their age. The top three titles for the month were Lego Batman, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier, and Diablo 3. S&P stock futures in the plus column by 4 points now. NASDAQ up 8.5, Dow rising 43. I'm Steve Potosk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safelite, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safelite has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safelite, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelite.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
Managing your own business takes a number of essential apps.
I think I have every one of them.
One is all you need.
Yeah, the contact managing one, the project tracking one, the work sharing one, and the client billing one.
No, just the all-in-one.
Which one?
Sage One, a simple web app that puts it all together for business.
That one?
The only one.
How do I get one?
Visit sagetoday.com for your 30-day free trial of Sage One.
Nice one.
That's sagetoday.com.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, by making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the service you need and save money on gas. $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver Package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back if that's indeed the truth, or welcome if you're just joining us. Of course, it's Joe DeSano Hour, so therefore you may be just arriving, but you're welcome nonetheless. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday the 13th, 2012. Yeah, don't freak out over that. We did have this conversation a couple months back. The last Friday the 13th, we have nothing to be worried about. Nothing to see here. Just keep driving. Well, actually, there is something to see here, especially in this hour. You stop and think about, of all the stuff we do, we begin the week this way and we end the week this way. So, not a bad way to do it. Not a bad way to do it at all. And since we have so much to get to, we should probably get right to our intro and get going. So let's go.
With his razor-sharp precision, First Shift welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
Let's go back in the good old Wayback Machine to the 2010 campaign and marvel at how adept the governor was at being elusive on issues. He was allowed to portray himself as a moderate, as a genial, nice guy, nerd.
Partner in Main Street Strategies.
Mr. Joe DeSano.
And we do welcome Joe DeSano back to First Shift. And Joe, as always, my friend, a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, always a pleasure to be with you. And, you know, I was born on a Friday the 13th, so that means good luck for me.
Absolutely. I bet you Bernadette would agree with you.
It depends on what day.
You're right. Well, maybe now that you're a little older, and you have given her a grandson and all, so, you know, there is that. That works in your favor, I would think.
True.
I just very briefly want to mention this, kind of going through some stuff, going through my Gongwer material, going through my Mirrors material, and I see that the only Democrat to get the Michigan Restaurant Association's endorsement is one young Republican who's a faux Democrat by the name of Cody Bailey. Just want to point that out, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that too. I didn't find it very shocking, but those are the people who feel that the $2 an hour that they pay waitresses to force them to live off their tips is just too much.
Yep, absolutely.
That's really what they want when they say they want you to agree to lower, eliminate the minimum wage for waitresses, force them to live exclusively on their tips. And, you know, as we all know, waitresses is the one job that a woman who didn't have the benefit of a post-secondary education can do and make a decent wage, and they want to cut that even more. I better watch my language. I'm not surprised in the least that Cody Bailey got that endorsement. You know, you got to respond to a questionnaire. So
that's the point. That's exactly where I was going with this. I wanted people to understand that endorsements don't just show up at your doorstep. You actually have to earn them.
You have to seek them out.
Yeah. Yes, you do. You have to seek them out. You have to ask for them. They don't just appear. That's why that ABC endorsement that we discussed last Friday was so heinous, because he actually sought that endorsement out and then, of course, tried to run away from it as soon as we outed it for what it really was. Anyway, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about Cody Bailey today. Just wanted to point that out. I happen to see that. What I really want to start with today, though, I want to go to Warren. I want to find out what's happening with my friend John Swetalski and one Lesia Liss. Can you give me an update there, Joe?
Yeah, actually I can. It's pretty darn good news, although I will say it's not very surprising. My company was retained by the Michigan Nurses Association, of which Ms. Liss is actually a member of, to do two things. One, run a mail campaign in that district alerting voters to her record in the legislature, which we did. But prior to that, they commissioned us to do a public opinion poll, testing to see where the candidates were in relationship to each other. And even before we did the campaign, it showed the mail campaign. It showed that that John was beating her 3-1. I mean, literally, it's 75% to 25%. And I think after we did our mail program, it probably dropped that 25% even more. So, you know, you don't want to spike the ball too early in any game. But I think John Swetalski is cruising to a crushing reelection victory.
Well, you mentioned that Lesia Liss is a member of the Michigan Nurses Association. I think it's important to point out that John Swetalski has their endorsement.
Correct. And it basically over the fact that, you know, in her first term, she sponsored a bill to set mandatory nurse-to-patient ratios in hospitals. And, you know, there's numerous studies that show that the more nurses you have available on hand at any moment of time, you get better patient care outcomes. In fact, it's been estimated that you could save 200,000 lives across the country per year if we had strong nurse-to-patient ratios. And I see no reason not to believe that. I mean, you better get better patient care. You get less avoidable infections. You get the care you deserve when you're in the hospital, which, you know, she was fully supportive of until the hospital administrators, the Republican majority, and the lobbyists got hold of her, and she turned her back on the bill. So, you know, this was a legislative priority for the Michigan Nurses Association, and they decided that voters need to be aware of this.
Oh, we need to be, again, I want to be mindful that we explain to people that the August 7th primary, which just is a couple weeks away, Joe, really will determine the winner of the general election for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, this is a seat that's overwhelmingly Democratic, so whoever wins that primary will in a 99.9% likelihood cruise to a re-election.
Yeah, and for those that aren't following this this particular seat, these are two sitting members of the Michigan State House of Representatives. One of them will no longer be a representative in the Michigan House, and thank God.
Well, and there's one thing that I should mention that I've been trying to get people to pay attention to, and no one has it as of yet. But, you know, her voting record has veered, Leslie Alyssa's voting record veered very far right in this past term. She co-sponsored a bill that would bring the Arizona immigration law here to Michigan. There's just a whole laundry list of really heinous things she's done. And people are wondering, well, why is she doing this? And I think I've uncovered part of the reason.
I'd like to hear that.
There is a judicial vacancy in the city of Warren. Judge Don Gruenberg has left the bench to take a job with the federal government, focusing on drug courts, which is her pet issue, and that's created a vacancy. I can report with 100% certainty that earlier this week, Leslie Alyssa's husband interviewed for that vacancy. So I'm just going to put this out here that my speculation is that she's been trying to curry favor with the governor's office and the Republican majority so that her husband gets this judicial spot.
Which might explain her posing with the governor over legislation that she supported that she normally probably wouldn't have.
Oh, absolutely. There are many levels of this game being played. I'm hoping to build a public outcry to, you know, make folks aware that this is going on so that her husband, who's an assistant city attorney with the city of Royal Oak, does not get that judicial spot.
Well,
first of all, he's mentally unsuited for it. And second of all, politics like this shouldn't come into play when you're selecting someone to fill out a judicial vacancy.
This is astounding stuff. I hope people are paying attention. Hope that they understand, we should be, this should be about the best people, not the most opportune people. Please keep.
And not the best connected people.
Yeah.
It should be the most qualified candidate for the job, not the spouse of someone who's throwing votes in the legislature in order to make this happen. I mean, we need to keep the judicial seats in the state as far away from the political levers of power as possible. Now, look, and no one here is saying that is the reality, but I think that's the ideal we have to strive for.
Of course it is. People, you've got to pay attention to what's going on. Well, speaking of paying attention, I was overnight, and we'll get to this after break. Mirror's news service broke some news from Main Street Strategies with regard to Speaker Jace Bulger's race. And, Main Street Strategies right in the middle of that one. So, Joe, when we come back, we'll talk about that poll and what it says. I'll have you break all that down, what it says about the speaker, and perhaps a little more illuminating than people might have thought. Maybe the Michigan Democratic Party focusing on the speaker is having a not just an effect, a profound effect, but you'll have to wait till we come back to get all that. And we've got much, much more to get to. So everybody stay right where they're at. This is First Shift. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll continue right after this on 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Chip with Tony Triano
on 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
As we head into our rush hour commute, our luck has run out as we have our first accident of the morning. It's on Grand River westbound, just after 8 mile. Your right three lanes are blocked and traffic is getting by in the left lane only. Now, 75 southbound at 11 mile, a disabled vehicle is blocking the right lane and you got slow traffic from 12 mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently 69 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.com. Or call 248-585-9671.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Triviano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Triviano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Triviano on Twitter. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Triviano.
Now time to punch back in.
22 minutes after the hour, Tony Triviano back with you. Joe DeSano, my guest. Joe, of course, partner in Main Street Strategies, a statewide political consulting firm. And he has some news, some breaking news, although Mears got it up before I did. That's all right. I'm okay with it, Joe. I'm okay with it. But interesting stuff coming out of Jace Bolger's district. And, again, I suggested before the break, maybe the work that Mark Brewer, the MDP, has been doing in his district is starting to have a profound effect.
Well, I think clearly the work that Mark Brewer is doing, taking the baseball bat to Jace Bolger's kneecaps every day is resulting in, I think, some fruit.
Oh, by the way, I need to correct something really quickly. Yeah. For those literally, he doesn't literally go after him with a baseball bat. I actually, seriously, Joe, somebody actually asked me about that.
Oh,
I know. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes. Anyways, earlier this week, we conducted a poll in the district of Speaker Boulder. We talked to 616 voters in the district, and the findings were actually pretty surprising. First finding was that he's not exactly a lock for reelection. In fact, Boulder had only 35% of the people we talked to commit to voting for him, 21% for the Democrat. But what was really striking is that 43% were undecided. The Speaker of the House, or really any incumbent, should be 10% higher. It should be hovering somewhere under or around the number 50. And this clearly was not the case here. So I think the Speaker could be in trouble. I think the implications for other Republicans actually are far more dire, because then we go on to ask a couple questions. One, we asked if the mayor or the governor's ties to the voter fraud investigation that the state police are currently undertaking in Grand Rapids with the Roy Schmidt situation was taking a toll on the Speaker. And folks, 27% said it raised very serious doubts about Boulder. 29% said it raises serious doubts. So you've got over 50% of the voting public out there who feel that the Speaker has some explaining to do. And let's be honest, this state police report that's currently being compiled based on their investigation has the potential to be devastating to the Republican power structure here in Lansing. Some of the rumors that are flying around, I won't repeat, but if even 20% of these rumors of what the state police is uncovering, there are significant problems and likely likely criminal charges coming out of this. So there's some real fertile ground here for Democrats to plant some seeds of dissension. And the next question we asked was something I think that can be applied to Democratic and Republican races across the state. As you well know, earlier this year, the Republican majority went after retired teachers and their pensions and tried to reduce the benefits that were negotiated. And at the same time, they were also preserving free health care for lawmakers. Or excuse me, for former lawmakers. And so we put those two instances together and asked voters how they would feel if they knew the Speaker did this. And it's very, very illuminating. 48% said it raised very serious doubts. 20% says it raised serious doubts. So you've got 69% of the voters in that district saying, whoa, the Speaker shouldn't be doing this. And my assertion is that this issue can be used in every race from Monroe to Menominee to stick it to the Republicans and help defeat them and eliminate their majority here in Lansing. So I think this helps provide a bullet in the chamber, if you want to make sure the audience knows, Tony, I'm not talking about a literal bullet in the chamber. I'm speaking metaphorically for those who aren't really keeping up. I think it's a bullet in the chamber that Democrats can use to take back the majority this fall.
Now, people need to understand that greed comes in a lot of different forms. It's not always necessarily in the form of money, although it can certainly end up there. Power is something else that people are very greedy about. Republicans, I believe, with not unlike the Roy Schmidt case, see an opportunity to seize more power. They're very hungry for it. They're unashamed about it, in fact, Joe. And so here we go. Maybe this gives us hope that there are still voters in the state of Michigan that believe democracy should reign.
Well, and I think that's really one of the takeaways you can get from this. I mean, there's no reason if the speaker's doing his work back home in the correct manner that he should be this vulnerable. I don't know this Bill Farmer, who's the Democrat. I'm not sure if he has the ability to capitalize on this. But I would venture to say that if the speaker's this vulnerable, there's some folks out there who are additionally vulnerable that we can take advantage of.
Well, how important, Joe, is the primary on August 7th as compared to the general? Will the primary pretty much give us the landscape of what we can expect come November 6th?
In about two-thirds of the races in the state of Michigan due to Republican gerrymandering, the partisan makeup of those two seats will be determined in the primary. There's another roughly a third who are going to have competitive general elections in November. This is where we, you know, get to that magical number of 56 House seats. And Democrats, are going to have a serious effort to retake the majority and put the gavel in the Democrats' hands. I think it's a real possibility, and that's what makes November 6th election so important.
Yeah, no question. It is critically important. I'm just sitting here. I'm thinking about all of the hard work that some of these candidates have done on the Democratic side. I look at some of the really competitive races, even on the Republican side. One of them that comes to mind is former rate waitress turned state rep Andrea LaFontaine. And the reason I've kind of focused on her is she has no right being in that job, no right at all. She's just not prepared. In fact, I'd love to know who her ghostwriter is, because that person does an exceptional job of making her sound so much smarter than she is. If you've ever heard her speak and then read what she supposedly writes, that's no way that's coming from the same brain. Just not happening, Joe. And so some of these races, not just on the Democratic side, but on the Republican side, are getting quite interesting. Let's take a quick break. More to get to on the other side. There I just go, bloviating on and on and on. 888-552-3595. Joe DeSano, my guest with Main Street Strategies. We'll take the break, and we'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As we head into our rush hour commute, our luck has run out as we have our first accident of the morning. It's on Grand River westbound, just after 8 Mile. Your right three lanes are blocked and traffic is getting by in the left lane only. Now, 75 southbound at 11 Mile, a disabled vehicle is blocking the right lane and you got slow traffic from 12 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently 69 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Tripiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Some people are too smart for your own good. Food geneticists, for example. These technicians have the smarts to tinker with the inner workings of Mama Nature's own good foods, but not the smarts to leave well enough alone. During the past half century, their productive tinkering devolved into outright tampering with our food, mostly to serve big agribusiness corporations that wanted nature's design altered in ways that would fatten their bottom lines. Never mind that the alterations created by these smart people were not good for you and me. Take the tomato, truly a natural wonder. Agribusiness profiteers, however, wanted it to do unnatural things, so voila! The genetic tamperers dutifully produce the amazing industrial tomato. It's a techno-marvel made to endure long-distance shipping, be artificially ripened to appear tomatoey red, and last an ungodly amount of time without rotting. But taste? Forget it. There's more flavor in the carton. This led to a grassroots rebellion among consumers and small farmers, resulting in the phenomenal growth in farmers' markets and stores that offer nature's own locally produced and heirloom varieties, untouched by the smart ones. But look out, the tomato tamperers are back in the lab. They've discovered that a mutated gene they had bred into the corporate tomato switches off other genes that would cause the fruit to develop flavor. The answer, they say, is not less technology, but more. By artificially re-engineering the DNA structure of the plant, they can bypass that naughty mutated gene and switch on some of the flavor genes. But do we really want to eat genetically engineered tomatoes? This is Jim Hightower saying, I can just see the agribusiness ad, buy our industrial tomatoes, now genetically flavored. Better yet, buy the local tomatoes, which don't need a smart geneticist or an ad to deliver real flavor.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Union. Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. I just get so wound up. Even I get wound up listening to Joe. That's right. So welcome back. Joe DeSano, welcome back to the program. Appreciate you being with us. I just get so wound up when you're here. I can't help it.
Wow, I wish my wife had that kind of response to me.
Yeah, I didn't say I get hot and bothered, dude. I said I get wound up. And I'm sure if I were to talk to her, she gets pretty wound up, too. So I'll leave it there.
Well, every morning I wake up without an axe in my forehead is a victory for some of the stuff I do to her.
I understand. I completely understand. Well, this is all very interesting about Jace Bulger, and I find it fascinating. You know, it's really fascinating as we get closer and closer to August 7th. I was saying that, you know, there are some Republican primaries that are quite interesting as well. I always, you know, you've got the classic line about Republican on Republican violence. There is some of that this primary season. We just don't talk a lot about Republicans, which is why we're not hearing about it necessarily on this program. They've got a couple dramatic races as well.
Well, they've got some dramatic races, but you've got a group out there, Michigan, the Prosperity Alliance, who are funded by who? Take a guess.
Oh, the Koch brothers.
That would be correct.
Well, thank you. And ding, 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 ding.
And you've got a situation where they are funding a series of mailers across the state bashing other Republicans. I kind of admire it in many different ways. I wish we had a counterweight to them on the Democratic side that we could use to exert party discipline, but this time they're going after a couple really nice targets, and one of them is Lisa Posthumous Lyons, who's the daughter of former Lieutenant Governor Dick Posthumous, and as you well know, he's the legislative quarterback for the Snyder administration,
or as I call him, the de facto governor.
In many ways, I think that he absolutely is. And so they're mailing against her, kicking her butt on a series of issues, one of which is, of course, the bridge. And, you know, they're trying to make sure that she maintains her, or she flips over to be against the new international crossing. So, you know, they don't just use their money against Republican or Democrats. They also use it to keep their own people in line. And I think there's a lesson to be learned there for certain. Frankly, I'm a little bit envious.
You know, let me switch topics on you for just a second, and this is not something that you're prepared for. I got an email last night from an activist in the 11th Congressional District that said that there is a Democrat that will be announcing this morning that they are going to run for the interim job of congressperson in the 11th. Do you have any idea who that Democrat is?
You know, I don't.
All right.
I don't.
Did you get that news as well?
I did not.
All right. I mean, I got it late last night. It was late. Because I got it, you know, this morning, but I get up at 2:30. So for a lot of people, that is late at night. But it just said that an unnamed Democrat would be announcing this morning, and they were looking for volunteers to collect 1,000 signatures by the 20th, which is a week away, the 20th of this month. So I thought, well, maybe Joe would know. Maybe he'd heard a rumor or two, but you haven't. So I guess we'll all find out at some point today. I'm kind of curious who that person will be. I know it's not me, although I was asked. You and I had this discussion privately. It's not me. I can promise you that. All right.
You know, it's funny. I can't keep track sometimes what's our private conversations and what's on the radio.
Okay, well, I'm not too worried about it because there's not a whole lot we say privately that I'd be afraid to say publicly. So I'm okay with that too, Joe. Let's talk a little bit about Congresswoman Candace Miller. Jeff had actually found a story that you wanted to discuss today. He had sent it to me earlier this week about her Wikipedia page and some creative editing.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to go back in the old Wayback Machine again and go back to 2002 when the Republicans were trying to push through successfully the drug benefit for Medicare. And there was a race going on here in Michigan to replace Nick Smith as congressperson for mid-Michigan, and his son was running. And Nick, in a rare moment of clarity, thought that this bill was wrong and refused to vote for it. And what happened is you had Tom DeLay come over and threaten him, threaten his son's campaign, and then you had Candace Miller come on over and do the same. She said that she was going to either work for Nick Smith's son or against Nick Smith's son, and it was up to Nick Smith to decide what that was going to be, and the decision was going to be based on his vote on the benefit. And so Nick reported this to the Ethics Committee. They did a full investigation. So anyways, all this was documented. There wasn't any real controversy to the results. I mean, it was all documented as fact, and it made its way onto Candy Miller's Wikipedia page. So, lo and behold, it's sitting there, and then all of a sudden, it's deleted off Wikipedia. Now, Wikipedia does a very, very interesting thing. It tracks the IPs of the people who modify its listings. And the IPs who deleted this reference in her Wikipedia page were IPs associated with the entity you may know as the United States Congress. So federal employees, I'm going to assume, of Candy Miller's, scrubbed her Wikipedia page of any reference to this scandal. And now she got caught red-handed. And she said that she's publicly said that she did not direct anyone to do this. If they did it, it was their own volition. But you know what? The fish rots from the head down.
Hmm.
You were exposed as corrupt in 2002, and you're exposed as corrupt when you try to scrub the public record of it. So you're certainly getting your money's worth from her if you live in Macomb, if you live in the northern part of Macomb County up into the thumb. She's a dirtbag. We all knew that. Now we just are finding this out to be reminded of it.
Yeah, and you know, and it was maybe a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago, maybe a little less, that you were talking to us about her allegiance or lack thereof or support of the Tea Party. She was everything and nothing all at the same time. She was actually a very good Mitt Romney clone. She was whatever she needed to be to the group she was talking to at the time.
Yeah, she is. She's probably Exhibit A if you're looking to find someone who is the embodiment of someone who craves political power but doesn't stand really for anything. And Republicans are pretty damn good at this. They know how to accrue power, and they know how to maintain it, and they know how to grow it. And those are lessons that Candy Miller's learned very, very well.
I just got, let me interrupt you because we're just about out of time, Joe. I just got word the Democrat that's going to be running for Congress in the 11th is Joan Gebhardt, Wayne County Commissioner.
Oh, that is a legitimate candidate.
Yep, I know Joan well. Nice lady. All right, well, that's the answer to that one. Anyway, back to, I just got a text on that, so I wanted to share that with you and the audience. The collective consciousness of a good audience. You got to love it. All right. Well, before we let you go today, I mean, I guess I should know this, and I don't. Does she have an opponent? I know she doesn't have a primary. Does she have a Democratic opponent this year?
She has a Democrat. She has actually two Democrats are vying to replace her in Congress. Neither of them, due to the nature of the district, have any real chance in hell of getting elected, and I think that's really the indictment of Republican gerrymandering efforts, that she's literally guaranteed a new term in Congress. Hopefully, she'll find the stones to venture out from that congressional district at some point and run for something else where we can use this stuff against her, because right now she's sitting in a fortress Republican, and we really can't get to her from a political perspective other than, you know, make sure this kind of stuff is part of the public record.
Well, I have to tell you, those that pay attention, like you, but those that pay attention in her district to Candace Miller and her ilk are really, and her cronies. They're very, very upset with her. They're disgusted by her. They believe that she's criminal at her core. I mean, people that are paying attention to her are disgusted by this congresswoman, Joe. I mean, and you know this. They're very, very passionate in their disgust of her. I don't want to use the word hatred because that's not a good word to use, but they are disgusted by her in a very deep and passionate way.
Well, I think she's the embodiment of pure political evil, and I think she's the embodiment of a lot of what is wrong with Michigan, or excuse me, with national politics.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree. Hey, Joe, we're just out of time for today. Thank you so much, as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll visit again next Friday.
Can't wait, my man.
All right, Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies. A quick break here. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy, but the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, we get ready to wrap things up. I want to thank Joe DeSano for his service to his country and to First Shift. Probably more to his country, but, you know, we'll take it as well. Thanks, Joe, as always. Let's see. What else is going on? I want to remind you, on Monday, doors open at 6, begins at 6:30. There is a candidates forum at the Grosse Pointe Democratic Club is the ones that are sponsoring the candidates forum. And I will be the moderator at the Grosse Pointe War Memorial, which is at 32 Lakeshore Drive in Grosse Pointe Farms. Very much looking forward to being there. So that's Monday, the 16th of July, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Just show up. It's that simple. I think that'll be a great opportunity. Congressman Gary Peters will be there, Congressman Hanson Clark, Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence, and former state rep Mary Waters. They are all four candidates, Democratic candidates, for Congress in the newly minted 14th Congressional District. Gerrymandered or not, it is what it is. And that's what we're dealing with. And again, this is going to be another one of those races where whoever wins the primary is pretty much guaranteed to win the general come November. So it's all about August right now. And I assure you all the candidates are working hard to get elected to that. And that's that. Okay, so we can all pay attention. I was really kind of surprised to hear the stuff about Jace Bulger. Were you not? I'm just glad that when you see people working as hard as Mark Brewer and the Michigan Democratic Party are to educate and enlighten those in his district, that they're paying attention, that it's having an impact. That's pretty darn cool. I'm absolutely okay with that. I am absolutely okay with that. So good for them. I mean, absolutely good for them. All right. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. I will mention one more time, if you are so inclined, unioncircle.com, a brand new social media site. I'm not going to wax on philosophically about it. It makes no sense not to do it. It's free. It is going to connect like-minded people. You do not need to be in a union to join. Anybody that is a member of Union Circle will enjoy the benefits of membership, which will include many things like discounts on services and products that you already use. If you happen to have a service or product and you would like to offer a discount on UnionCircle.com, would you just send me a quick email and I'll connect you to the people over at Union Circle. They'd be happy to chat with you. And they have an unbelievable deal for you. Tony at thetonyshow.org, the .org. And we will see as we work this. Now, this is a Friday. It's interesting what happens on Fridays to news. Of course, all the rage yesterday was Mitt Romney, and when did he actually leave Bain Capital? Well, he says it was 99. SEC filings say, the Security and Exchange Commission filings say, no, he was there till 2002 on payroll, was the chairman, CEO, president, and only shareholder. So how could he be all those things all the way through 2002 but not work there? That's a legitimate question. It needs to be answered. It will or won't be. Here's the bottom line to this one. This is the part that really confuses me. If this is all true, I'm going to throw this out to Jeff. Jeff, if this is all true, and I know you already posted it to Facebook, so I know how you feel about that, but if this is all true, shouldn't this guy no longer be considered for the job of presidency?
No longer be considered?
Yeah. Should he not withdraw his nomination?
I don't see that happening. I would just think...
I know you don't see it happening, but if it's true, don't you believe... I mean, if this were a legitimate job interview and we were to find out that he lied on his resume, do you not think he'd be disqualified for the job?
No, it depends on what the lie is.
But the,
in this
the lie
case, he
is...
stayed longer. I mean...
Yeah, but it's not just that he stayed longer. It's what happened in those 3 years. The jobs that were lost, the decisions that were made, the money that was made by the company that he claims that he didn't participate in. I mean, there's something wrong here. There's something seriously wrong here. Now maybe we understand why he doesn't want to release his tax records, because we'll find out that he was getting that paycheck. Now that makes a lot of sense, don't you think?
Well, he obviously wasn't getting a paycheck, right? I mean, he's against getting free things. And if you're the CEO, you know, if you're the guy and you say, "Well, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't even work there," and you're getting money, isn't that getting money for free?
Oh, listen, he's only worried about black people getting stuff for free. You know that. I don't know. I'm very, very concerned about this, and I'm not saying that sarcastically. I believe that this is a very legitimate concern. And I can't believe that somebody's not calling for his resignation today. I just can't believe that someone's not calling for his resignation. I mean, I am, but it won't matter. The bottom line here, and this is so simple. The Republicans are stuck with this guy now. They're literally stuck with him. So here's what happens moving forward. I'm gonna make this real simple for everybody. Here's what happens moving forward. They're stuck with him. We're going to be stuck with him no matter what. Unless we find out that he egregiously broke the law, and there may be compelling reasons that he didn't. Maybe everything he did was legal. Lying is not breaking the law, by the way. You understand that? That lying doesn't mean you broke the law. You can lie about something and be totally within the realm of law. So I'm not questioning that. I'm not saying that he's broken the law. I am saying he's lied. But if you stop and think, legitimately stop and think about everything that he said, all the flip-flopping that he's done, just around this one issue. I'm not talking all the flip-flopping, because we don't have enough time in a week to go through all of it. If we stop and think about what he has lied about, just surrounding the issue of his service to Bain, how long he was there, what happened after he left, et cetera, We have reason enough to disqualify him as a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. The truth is, it's not going to happen. Because they're stuck with this guy. So unless we find out that he has broken the law, and it can be proven, nothing will happen. That's just a sad reality. I mean, it truly is a sad reality. All right. That is going to do it for us for today. Jeff, any plans for the weekend? Or are you just hanging out?
Just hanging out, I guess. So, this weekend's not the good weekend.
This next
I mean, it's good. It's a good weekend. Okay. But, I mean, it's not, yeah, it's not next weekend.
Okay. And we're taking vacation. I don't remember the exact date, but are you going to actually take a vacation?
I'm trying to plan something.
Good. 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 Do it. You need some time off. All right. A, thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you. Folks, that'll do it for us for today. I want to thank all of you for listening. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As we're right in the middle of your rush hour traffic, it is very busy. Let's head over to Grand River westbound just after 8 Mile, where we still have that accident blocking the right three lanes and traffic getting by in your left lane only. On Grand River eastbound after Warren, that's blocked by fire crews. 75 southbound at 9 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked. 94 westbound, just after Harper, reports of tire debris in your center lane, so use some caution there. And on 94 westbound, just before 14 Mile, accident has your right shoulder blocked. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Looking for a hot new way to pop? Introducing new Spicy Chicken McBites. Crispy, poppable pieces of juicy chicken breast with a spicy kick. New Spicy Chicken McBites, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 90 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and 68. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms and in the high 80s, and it's currently...